ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2nd, Chapter number 9, answers by citing the Lord's version, text number 36, and the purport is continued. So let's touch up the subject matter. Etavadeva jigyasyam tattva jigyasana atmanah अन्वय व्यतिरेकाभ्याम यत् स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा। ए पर्सन हु इज सर्चिंग आफ्टर द सुप्रीम एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ, द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, मोस्ट सर्टनली सर्च फॉर इट अप टू दिस इन ऑल सर्कमस्टांसेस, इन ऑल स्पेस एंड टाइम, एंड बोथ डायरेक्टली एंड इनडायरेक्टली। व्हाट इज दैट पॉइंट of ultimate search? Is the supreme personality aspect of the absolute truth. So one has to come up to this, can't get half done, half cooked. If he has to search for the absolute truth, then he has to know Brahman aspect, Paramatma aspect, and Bhagavan aspect. Bhagavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate expression of the Absolute Truth. And that process is so directly acknowledged that if you target the highest absolute truth ever expressed and realized is that personality. So if you are directly connected, people do not know whether they are directly connected or not. Even though the same Supreme Personality will tell you they don't have much faith or all this thing. But nonetheless, one has to come to that ultimate stage of realizing, and that can be only achieved through the process of pure devotional service. So Sukadeva Goswami's recommendation, even though he was a Brahmavadi, and he was 24 hours in rapt attention of his eternal status as the part and parcel of the Supreme, but he did not know who the Supreme was. Therefore, he was very afraid to come out from the womb of his mother. Right? But Lord Krishna himself came and addressed to him, just like Narad Muni was addressing to Prahlad in the womb. Krishna guarantees him that he will not fall into illusion even if he comes out. So there should not be any fear for him that Maya can affect him. Then Krishna went and he came out and he did not see that Supreme Personality of Godhead who spoke to him. He got the guarantee only from the Supreme Personality aspect. So for him it was very, very disturbing. He didn't see him. The one who spoke can be also seen. If you hear something, there must be some personality. If you hear from Bhagavad Gita, then you have to put up the personality aspect. Impersonal cannot speak to you, cannot address to you. So, for them, it becomes a cheating experience. They remain only in the cerebral sphere rather than the sphere of his own core of consciousness, which is called heart. They have no connection with their heart. They are so selfish that they don't want Lord Krishna to interfere. And as if they acquired all this knowledge without his help. So they are harboring envious nature to the personality aspect of the Lord. So Sukadeva Goswami is giving the conclusion that one must come up to this point, not halfway, for Brahman realization, either through any process or Paramatma realization. Now, they have to come up to the personality aspect. So that is it. A person who is searching after the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search up to this point. Personality. In all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining he quotes that simply by hearing and chanting one becomes a great devotee of Lord Vasudeva. Na chalati bhagavat padarvinda lavanimishardham apicha vaishnavar ragrahiya. A person who does not move from the lotus feet of the Lord even for a moment or a second is to be considered the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Bhagavat prasadatam prapte matsevaya pratitam te. The pure devotees are convinced of attaining the association of the personality of Godhead, and thus they are always engaged in his transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, in all continents, in all planets, in all universes, devotional service to the Lord or bhakti yoga is current, and that is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam and allied scriptures. Everywhere means in every part of creation of the Lord. The Lord can be served by all senses or even simply by mind. The South Indian Brahmana who served the Lord simply on the strength of his mind also factually realized the Lord. Success is guaranteed for a devotee who fully engages any one of his senses in the mode of devotional service. The Lord can be served by any ingredient, even the most common commodity, a flower, a leaf, or a fruit, or a little water, which are available in any part of the universe and without cost. And thus the Lord is served universally by universal entities. He can be served simply by hearing. He can be served simply by chanting or reading about his activities. He can be served simply by adoring him and accepting him. In the Bhagavad Gita it is stated that one can serve the Lord by offering the results of one's work. It does not matter what one does. Generally, men may say that whatever they are doing is inspired by God. But it is not at all like that. One should actually work on behalf of God as servant of God. And the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9 chapter 27th verse, Yat karoshi yad asnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kauntiyat tat kurusva madarpanam. Do whatever you like, or whatever may be easier for you to do. Eat whatever you may eat. Sacrifice whatever you can sacrifice. Give whatever you may give in charity, and do whatever you may undertake in finance. But everything must be done for him only. If you do business or if you accept some employment, do so on behalf of the Lord. Whatever you may eat, you may offer the same to the Lord, and be assured that he will return the food after eating it himself. He is complete whole, and therefore whatever he may eat as offered by the devotees is accepted because of the devotee's love. But again, it is returned as prasad for the devotee also, that he can be happy by eating. In other words, be a servant of God and live peacefully in that consciousness, ultimately returning home back to Godhead. It is said in Skanda Purana, yasya smritya cha namoktya tapayagya kriyadishu nunam sampurnantam iti sadyo vandetam achitam. I offer my obeisances unto him, the infallible, because simply by either remembering him or vibrating his holy name, one can attain the perfection of all penances, sacrifices or fruitive activities, and this process be universally followed. It is enjoined in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, 10th verse. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajat purusham param. Although a person be full of desires or have no desires, he may follow this path of infallible bhakti yoga for complete perfection. One need not be anxious to propitiate each and every demigod and goddess, because the root of all them is the personality of Godhead. As by pouring water on the root of the tree, one serves and enlivens all the branches and leaves, so by rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves every god and goddess without extraneous effort. The Lord is all-pervading, and therefore service unto him is also all-pervading. This fact is corroborated in Skanda Purana as follows. Archite deva devase shankh chakra gadadhare architaha sarva devaha syur yataha sarva gatohari. When the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, who carries in his hand a conch shell, wheel, club and lotus flower, is worshipped, certainly all other demigods are worshipped automatically, because Hari, the personality of Godhead, is all-pervading. Therefore, in all cases, namely nominative, objective, causative, dative, ablative, possessive and supportive, everyone is benefited by such transcendental loving service to the Lord. The man who worships the Lord himself who is worshipped, the cause for which the Lord is worshipped, the source of supply, the place where such worship is done, etc., everything is benefited by such an action. Even during the annihilation of the material world, the process of bhakti yoga can be applied. Kalena nashta pralaye vininyam. The Lord is worshipped in devastation because he protects the Vedas from being annihilated. He is worshipped in every millennium or yuga, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam in 12th canto, 3rd chapter, 52nd verse. Krite yadhyayato vishnum tretayam yadrato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalautadhari kirtanat. In the Vishnu Purana it is written, sahani stan mahar chidram sa moha sa vibramah yan muhurtam kshanam vapi vasudevam na chintayet. Even if for a moment's remembrance of Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is missed That is the greatest loss. That is the great illusion. And that is the greatest anomaly. The Lord can be worshipped in all stages of life. For instance, even in the wombs of their mothers. Maharaj Prahlad and Maharaj Parikshit worshipped the Lord even in the very childhood, at the age of only 5 years. Dhruv Maharaj worshipped the Lord even in the full youth. Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Lord. And even at the last stage of his frustration and old age, Maharaj Dhritarashtra worshipped the Lord. Ajamil worshipped the Lord even at the point of death. And Chitraketu worshipped the Lord even in heaven and in hell. In the Narsingha Purana, it is said that as hellish inhabitants began chanting of the holy name of Lord, they began to be elevated from the hell towards heaven. Durvasa Muni has supported this view. Mucheta yan namni udite narako api. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the inhabitants of hell became released from their hellish persecution. So the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam as given by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit is, etan nirvidyamananam icchatam akuto bhayam yoginam drunam nirnitam harer namanu kirtanam. O king, it is finally decided that everyone, namely those in renounced order of life, the mystic, the enjoyers of fruitive work, should chant the holy name of the Lord fearlessly to achieve the desired success in their pursuits. This is in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, 11th Verse. Similarly, as indicated indirectly in various places in revealed scriptures, one, even though one is well versed in all the Vedas and scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, he is considered to be the lowest of mankind. In the Garuda Purana, in second, and Brahman Naradiya Purana and Padma Purana, the same is repeated. What is the use of Vedic knowledge and penances for one who is devoid of devotional service to the Lord? Third, what is the comparison of thousands of Prajapati to one devotee of the Lord? Sukadeva Goswami, number 4, said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 4th Chapter, 17th Verse, that neither the ascetic, nor one who is greatly munificent, nor one who is famous, nor the great philosopher, nor the great oculist, nor anyone else can achieve the desired result without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Fifth, even if a place is more glorious than heaven, if there is no glorification of the Lord of Vaikuntha or his pure devotee, it should at once be quitted. Sixth, the pure devotee refuses to accept the 5 different types of liberation in order to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Even not Vaikuntha. The final conclusion, therefore, is that the glories of the Lord must always and everywhere be proclaimed. One should hear about his glories. One should chant about his glories. One should always remember his glories, because that is the highest perfectional stage of life. As far as fruity work is concerned, it is limited to an enjoyable body. As far as yoga is concerned, it is limited to the acquirement of mystic powers. As far as empiric philosophy is concerned, it is limited to attainment of transcendental knowledge. And as far as transcendental knowledge is concerned, it is limited to attainment of salvation. Even if they are adopted, there is every chance of discrepancy in discharging the particular type of functions. But adoption of the transcendental devotional service to the Lord has no limit, nor there is fear of falling down. The process automatically reaches the final stage by the grace of the Lord. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, there is an apparent requisite for knowledge, but in the higher stage, there is no necessity of such knowledge. The best and guaranteed path of progress is therefore engagement in bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. The cream of Srimad Bhagavatam, in foregoing four slokas, is sometimes squeezed out by impersonalists for different interpretations in their favor. But it should be carefully noted that the four slokas were first described by the personality of Godhead himself, and thus the impersonalists have no scope to enter into them because he has no conception of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the impersonalist may squeeze out any interpretation from them, but such interpretation will never be accepted by those who are taught in the disciplic succession from Brahma, as will be cleared up in the following verses. Besides that, the Shruti confirms that the Supreme Truth, Absolute Personality of Godhead, never reveals himself to anyone who is falsely proud of his academic knowledge. The Shruti mantras clearly say, that is in Kathopanishad, first canto, second chapter, 23rd verse, Nayam atma pravachena labhya na medhaya na bahuna srutena yam evaisha vrunute tena labhyas tasseva atma vrunute tanasvam. The whole matter is explained by the Lord himself. And one who has no approach to the Lord in his personal feature can rarely understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam without being taught by the Bhagavatas in the disciplic succession. What a profound purport by Srila Prabhupada ki. Sahom Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavauscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Tantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Shri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada is paving the way to foster our realization on the path of devotional service. And it's like an ammunition. when in court something has to be concluded for definitive purposes. This bombardment of this arguments by quoting the Shastra is a very definitive answer to win the case. What is the previous judgment on similar case that is referred? And the court gives the judgment to a case. It is referred because it is written down. It is available to the lawyer, and on that basis they build up their case. So when you quote, it's like shooting the enemy, making you confirm that this is not an ordinary thing. It is the most precious thing to be cherished because we get hope to win in the final test, right? So we have to be acquainted. From Prabhupada's mouth, it comes like fluent, shooting. Bombards. How many pages? 8 pages he took? Let me count. I didn't count him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 pages. 14 pages. Super excellent conclusion is given. So, you can't bet with anybody. There is no necessity because you are sure to win. No gambling here. I mean, to become, very faithful to the authenticity of the scriptures, which is considered to be the final verdict on that basis. Guru Sadhu Shastra Praman. And Prabhupada claims that in following verses that are going to come, receiving the knowledge in descending order of a disciplic succession is the only methodology that gives us guaranteed through our contemporary or previous acharyas. So, Shastra Praman is the ultimate. How it is conveyed through disciplic succession. O Brahma, Srila Prabhupada. O Brahma. And if we are fortunate to receive from Srila Prabhupada, so how much significance it has in our life. One becomes committed. Preach on the basis of this strength. And Prabhupada said, for a devotee, there is no fear of even falling down. And yet we see falling down. How do we reconcile? Yes, Narad Muni gives the answer. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna apakva patit yato yadi kova abhadra abhut amushyakim. There are two kinds. Success of devotee or success of non-devotee. How to compare? Because devotee has only one source, is to hold on the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? And even during his process of which is perfect, but due to his own shortcomings or some circumstances, if in immaturity of the process that he is taking, pro- process is not immature. But because he is immature, if he falls down, what is inauspicious for him? Because the other two supports, all the three supports are intact, except himself. Right? So, if one leg is lost, other three are there. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So, he can still walk. So, there is no inauspicious thing for him. Alright? While on the other behalf, one who has not taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, but he is becoming so much expert in performing all the duties of his material desires, what gain he is going to get? At least we have three supports. He has none. He has none. So, we will get an appendage. We'll get more support. We have so many legs in association of the devotees to walk through. So it doesn't matter. Such a process is so perfect that we can't afford to give up or trade in with some other. So, we need to look into the verification from time to time whether we are going along or remaining complacent. Because so much guarantee is given by Srila Prabhupada that no other acharyas have ever given. It is so easily understandable. Prabhupada is like a Supreme Court lawyer, bombarding. Is confident to win. So we have to adopt his methodology. Prabhupada said, do as I do, repeat after me. What's the big deal, he says. We don't have to concoct our own idea or allow our material education to interfere in devotional service. We are not supposed to allow the interference of our work in the devotional service. Rather, we are told other way around. Make your work as devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Right? So, work will be there. But in which consciousness are we performing? It's not difficult. You carry Krishna consciousness everywhere, even in hellish condition. You got three examples. Vritrasura was Krishna conscious even in his previous life or before he was cursed as Chitraketu. He got educated right from Lord Anantashesh, Shankarshan educated in from spiritual world. Then he was sent down. And he was serving the Lord, never forgot for a moment. Even in the cursed condition, he did not forget. Because he was on a conclusive aspect. That is the perfection. Our bodies are imperfect. Senses are imperfect. Mind is imperfect. Everything is imperfect. We can't rely upon them. So, even in the beginning, Sukadeva Goswami answered Parikshit's question what you have resolved and set down for the purpose of remembering the Lord, it is the best methodology that you have. So he's concluding that aspect, etan nirvidyamananam ichchatam akuto bhayam yoginam drunam nirnitam hare namanu kirtanam. O king, it is finally decided that everyone, namely those in renounce of order of life, the mystic, the enjoyers of fruitive workers, should chant the holy name of the Lord fearlessly to achieve the desired success in their pursuits. Whatever they want to. Your pursuit is the final pursuit that you have come after long conclusions. But others may be having also pursuit, but still they will have to take help of the Supreme Lord to fulfill their desires, respective desires. This process of devotional service is so glorious, it cannot be interfered by our sentiments even. What to speak of knowledge, but sentiments even. If we think we can take liberty, because after all sentiments are essential, but they do interfere without proper purification. Why do we have to keep on indulging or adding our modes of material nature into the process of devotional service? Why do we have to do that? Actually, devotional service is going to purify these three modes. But we, without proper understanding or in a confused state or due to our attachment, we keep on bringing the modes of material nature, especially in the form of sentiments. devotional service without, proper understanding, when it was not conveyed and people were not been able to answer, when the impersonalists, through their knowledge, they will challenge to a performer, they denigrated, they discouraged them so much that in general, in society, of every religion, and devotional service was not given importance. It was tactfully discarded as if it is for the sentimental people. Even up to when Lord Chaitanya came, he was considered to be a sentimentalist. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to go through such a humble situation. He adopted and he is teaching us. Remember in Varanasi, when the Brahman invited Mayavadi sannyasis headed by Prakashanand Saraswati, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that nature. He sat down at the place where they washed their feet before. Right? And he was chanting Hare Krishna. And these people were standing in some corner and they were talking of their, high philosophies. But Prakashananda was attracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the glare of Brahma Jyoti. He was attracted immediately because he was a Brahmavadi too, Mayavadi. They came from Brahmavadis. So he was very much attracted. He said, what is this young sannyasi? He is the youngest of all, and what is he doing there? as usual, Mayavadi considered everybody to be Vishnu. So he addressed, "Oh, you are Vishnu personified. How come you are sitting at such a lowly place? You are just repeating the name of the Lord. What is this? Sannyasis are supposed to be knowing the Vedanta. You should come among us and get converted." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respectfully told, "My guru thought that I was a fool and unable to understand the Vedanta. That's why he told me to chant Hare Krishna." It startled. Then he is a sannyasi, yet he is considered himself to be a fool, or his guru is considered a fool. I mean, how do you reconcile with the Vedantic philosophy? Vedantic philosophy will tell you, tattvamasi, you are the same absolute truth. Aham brahmasmi. How will you? So he got confused. And he could not answer by Vedantic philosophy. Even this simple thing. He was not able to answer. Then simply, he tried to give his hand and tell Chaitanya, "Please, please come and be with us. It is not befitting." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted them to sit there too. So he said, "How to get through?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, "Actually, you are great people. You are very great. I am a neophyte. You know, in Kali Yuga, everybody is neophyte. But somehow or another, by the mercy of the Lord, you became so great. Your fortune is so much. I am yet learning." But then he started revealing something astounding, that every aspect of discussion was challenging to Prakashananda Saraswati. As if Saraswati got lost from his tongue and resided on in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the master of Saraswati. You know? And they were really impressed. They were spellbound, could not utter a word. And they begged his forgiveness, accepted him, that you are correct. They became his followers. So this is the kind of a fearless situation is obtained. Narayano parobhyaktatna kutaschana vibhyati svarga api narkesho tulyarth eva darshi. A devotee is not at all afraid of any situation, whether in hellish or heavenly condition. He is simply remembering the Lord all the time. If we are engaged by the attraction of the material modes and engaged in different activities, it means we have been pulled out so far that it is very difficult to come back and get attracted to Krishna. So how it is possible to remember? The distance is measured by attachment to the material modes. And more we are attached, more we'll be forgetful. Krishna will not be remembered because he is at distance. So, in this way, when we try to retract from this Mayavadi philosophy with the support of the Shastra, that convince us at every step. Prabhupada does not leave anything unturned in order to shut up every Mayavadi argument. Every Mayavadi argument. I mean, bombarding one after another. Nobody can raise their head even against this purpose. So much is the glorification of the holy name has been given by our predecessor Acharya in the disciplic succession, and we have that conclusion of our life. What is the conclusion? What is the conclusion? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. In Mumbai, our Nathaji Das, his mother happened to invite Srila Prabhupada in her home, and Nathaji Das was present. Father passed away for some time. She was a Vallabha Vaishnavite, all right? So naturally, a Vaishnava is attracted. And Prabhupada came to his home. And Nathaji Das was just a fresh graduate from Harvard, especially MBA he did in Harvard. And he happened to be there. He was handling his father's industries, and but at that time he was a student of Chinmayanand. And he would go to Powai. Powai was the resort area in Mumbai, and he would travel and go all the way. It's quite far, about 75 kilometers from downtown Mumbai. So, Chinmayanand was an impersonalist, but he was giving a very analytical study, but not on the devotional aspect, but analyzed knowledge. And he would tell so many different ways, and people were attracted. So he was attending. And when Srila Prabhupada came, and he is teaching Bhagavad Gita, so he thought, let me test both of them. So he would go to Chinmayanand, and when there is a discussion on particular sloka, and he hears that, then he would come to Juhu and attend Srila Prabhupada's school. But he will ask the question pertaining to what Chinmayanand gave the interpretation. And Prabhupada's quotes are, or his purports are very simple and directly pertaining to the Supreme's devotional service and the holy name and everything. As far as all the aspects of devotional service are concerned, they are centered around. So then he will go again and argue with Chinmayanand. Yesterday you told like this, but actually Krishna he is talking as a person, isn't it? He's a person. And he was a person, but just like us. And then the argument will go. So several times he did. Any subject matter that come, he will refer to Srila Prabhupada and go back and throw in the lap of Chinmayanand. And there will be some kind of argument. And somehow or another, he found out that he is attending Bhaktivedanta's also Bhagavad Gita classes. So he admitted, if you want to learn bhakti, you go to Bhaktivedanta Swami. Don't come here. And from that day, fine. But there were some friends also. So they were thinking, okay, let's visit Srila Prabhupada. So in the morning, he brought about 6-7 of the students to Srila Prabhupada. And he says, Prabhupada, they are all students of Bhagavad Gita. So, oh. So Prabhupada, so what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? What is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? And they started looking at each other. Can't find the answer. What should we speak? You are a student of Bhagavad Gita, so you should know what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. And no. Then one got inspired to speak up something. Swamiji, there is no conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Every day you read the same verse, there are different versions you get in front of you. It is impossible. It is so deep. And Prabhupada took it so seriously, he thumped his fist. Who said there is no conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? And he started bombarding the slokas. Is this not conclusion? Is that not conclusion? Manmana bhava mat bhakto madhya. Is it not the conclusion? Sarva dharmana parityaja mamekam saranamuja. Is it not the conclusion? And he was angry like a lion. And they got again first confused. To make a confused person more fearful, it is very easy. Very easy. And Prabhupada showed that lion-like feature and oh, Swamiji, we just came to have your darshan. Did you have my darshan? And Prabhupada smiled. So please go now. And told Nathisa, give them some prasad before they go. That's the way Prabhupada would deal. You know, equipped and snapshot instantly. So, no wonder we are getting all this emanation. There is one important point in conclusion, is that why he is so easily available to Atma Bhakto, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. And these four slokas that are being described by the Lord's by the Lord Himself. And nobody has right to interpret that as if the Lord is ununderstandable. Because thinking the Lord is not there is as good as telling that he is dead. Therefore, we can also make him impersonal. It's something obscure energy or atma that we cannot see has spoken. So it's a very organized crime against the Lord that such envious people. So how is it envious people that they will be able to know the teachings of the Lord? The four slokas, the Chatushloki Bhagavad, they were originally spoken by the personality of Godhead himself. And it was told to Brahma. So Brahma becomes the first recipient, and we have to get through him. It was not spoken to Lord Shiva or Lakshmi or even the Kumaras. So to come under the disciplic succession of Brahma is a very added advantage. Because the truth will be revealed as wholesome. Without leaving anything that undelivered. It will be delivered. For the others, they may follow some system, but so imperfectly. First of all, they don't have faith on the personality aspect. Second, they have to rely upon their tiny brain. Prabhupada said, this brain is filled with stool, not with real intelligence. So anything is derived, it's nothing but stool. It's a refuge, discarded thing. We do not store stool, do we? No. It is already a discarded, excreta. Not inscreta. Excreta, thrown away, ex out. Even the selves who are not intelligent, they discard. Why do we take such things inside? The living entity, they are there, they are digesting the food and they discard rest. It means it is not needed. So, what kind of a rejected philosophy that we have to entertain? No. We should not waste our time in that. So, this is the cream of understanding that why we have to glorify the Supreme Personality of God, because He is the origin of everything and everything is expanded out of His merciful desire. This desire is the real mercy of the Lord. It is His desire, not our desire. That He is accompanying us as Paramatma, that is also mercy. Because without the mercy, our dependency will not be even solved. So, this particular last paragraph, the cream of Srimad Bhagavatam and the foregoing four slokas is sometimes squeezed out by the impersonalist for different interpretations in their favor, but it should be carefully noted that the four slokas were first described by the personality of Godhead himself, and thus impersonalists have no scope to enter into them because he has no conception of the personality of Godhead. It's a common sense. So, when we do not use our common sense, what impersonalists take disadvantage of our so-called lack of common sense. And they bombard us with big Sanskrit sloka which are not referring to the personality aspect. And they conclude immaturely and try to impress that they are right. But it's cheating. Common sense can dictate. But we are not using even the common sense. It can say, yes, if you have no faith in person, you are still hearing from that person, but you still have no faith in the personality of that person, then how can you make him impersonal? you hear from a person, then you have to contemplate on that person. Impersonal is an aspect because it is coming in the form of sound vibration. It is coming in the form of sound vibration. They do not know that there is no difference between sound vibration and the personality. Because they are still measuring everything on the medium of senses. Or because they don't see, they don't believe. But yet they acknowledge unseen. Right? So even in Srimad Bhagavatam, that portion, the Supreme Lord is called Avigyata. Or no name person. And but he is nonetheless existing. How he is existing, they have no knowledge. But they have to accept something is there, existing. So that is incomplete. And because they don't have faith on the person through the common sense, they do not think it is necessary to explore him. Therefore, they are by nature bereft of the knowledge of the personality. Even common sense dictate, that there is energy and there are modes, either on the spiritual side or in material side. Right? Two things are needed to make a form. Energy. Energy cannot exist independently. It must have a shelter, or it should be bound up. When you bind the energy, then the form will come. The gunas means the rope. Gunas are binding the energy to make a form. In Bhagavatam, everything is described by Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya Muni was impersonalist. He acknowledges that. Vidur is a devotee, but he is getting the knowledge of the formation of this material creation. And there, guna vyatikarabhyam. Vyatikarabhyam means permutation and combination of the different modes create varieties in the qualities. And qualities are said to be gunas. There is no difference between qualities and gunas. But originally there are three gunas. So guna has a function to bind material energy. And that also material energy, which has been 8 material energies, right? 3 are subtle and 5 are gross. So, bhumirapanalo vayu khammano buddhirevacha ahankaram itiyame bhinna prakriti ashtada. So, material energy composed of the 5 gross elements and 3 subtle elements are bound up by the modes. The modes are so prevalent that modes transform in the grossest manifestation is material energy. Then the same modes are going to envelop or sheathing the package of the material energy. And that is a form. Form is conceived not by fertile brain, but by an experiential process. that happened. So nothing is formless, because it's a temporary existence in material world. Therefore, vyakta and avyakta, manifested and unmanifested situation is there. There is a little sustenance in between. But parastasmattu bhavo anyo vyakta vyakta sanatana. Besides this manifested and unmanifested energy, I have a superior energy that is beyond vyakta and avyakta. It is eternal. Beyond vyakta and avyakta is called eternal. How come one is said to be eternal? Because it's always there. So it is beyond manifested and unmanifested. Neither it can have to emergence point or end point. Na jayate mriyate va kadachinnayam bhutva bhavitana va bhuya ajo nityam shashvatoyam puranun hanyate hanyamane sharire. Cosmic material world is also sharir or kind of body. A planet is a body. Everything is body. It is manifested by guna vyatikarabhyam. It's the permutation and combination of the three gunas. So it's a common sense that formation in the material world is there. Therefore, spiritual energy and the spiritual modes, they are also existing in same permutation and combination. Variegatedness. Parasya shaktir vividhiya sruyate. And they manifest in jnana bala kriyacha. Knowledge is a manifested energy. But knowledge of transcendence is also manifested energy. When the energy is manifesting, it gives the nature of the energetic. So how is it possible to conclude that everything is impersonal and from nothing something came out? From void, everything. Their brain has void. Nothing else is void. Right? So, if material energy can manifest, why not spiritual energy can manifest? It is always manifested. So therefore, Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Krishna says, I am the originally manifested and from nothing. No, I have ever manifested because a fact has to be factual. Truth has to be factual. It is not imaginary. It is not perceived on a relative basis, but absolute truth, satyameva jayate. It is always victorious. Why victory? Because it's a factual thing. Nandrutam. One which is not factual is not going to win. Na andrutam. Rutam means factual. Andrutam means not. So Vedic aphorism is satyameva jayate nandrutam. Na andrutam. One which is not rutam is called andrutam. So it is not going to win. But impersonalist as the whole world. And atheistic government. Even they take such aphorism of the Veda. In India, you know, the government emblem is of the three lions on Ashok pillar, and underneath satyameva jayate, only half-cooked knowledge is. Oh, we think material truth, which is a relative truth, is always going to be victorious. I'm right. You are wrong. We go and fight in the court. But a court is also in the jail. Our fighting is also in the jail. There is no liberation. But But Krishna declares, parastasmattu bhavonya. Besides this manifested and unmanifested nature, I have an eternal nature. Vyakta vyakta sanatana. And when all this manifested material creation will come to cease, this nature will still remain forever. So, material nature is manifested, and we think, because no see, no proof. It is a very a stupid argument. The common sense should dictate that what is existing without manifestation? Everything is manifested for our facility to understand that. But the process is completely opposite, that we rebellious people cannot understand. That is the process. And it is available through chanting of Hare Krishna. So, we have to cultivate faith appropriately and uninterfered by the material modes. That kind of faith is required. And it culminates only in Krishna Bhakti. Shraddha Shabde Sudrad Vishwasa Karanishchay Krishna Bhakti Karile Sarva Karma Kritaka. This is what is required. That by performing every activity as devotional service to Lord Krishna, with firm convicted faith, which should not be separated from our existence. For a moment, that is called Shraddha. Sat means eternal, Dha means Dhyā, Buddhi. Keep our intelligence sharp, at least on a common sense level. And then we will be able to penetrate. When everything is manifested, a shadow is manifested. So Krishna tries to explain, even in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, the whole material world is a upside down, like a shadow, or a perverted reflection of the origin. And he shows how to see the origin, even though we are in complete opposition. So, but you cannot deny that it is not existing because you don't have common sense. So like that. So, Prabhupada says, therefore the impersonalist may squeeze out any interpretation from them, but in such interpretation will never be accepted by those who are taught in the disciplic succession from Brahma, as will be cleared up in the following verses. Besides that, Shruti confirms that supreme truth, personality of Godhead, never reveals himself to anyone who is falsely proud of this academic knowledge. Shruti mantra clearly says, that is given in Kathopanishad, that nayam atma pravachanena labhya. If you simply give a lot of pravachan, the supreme is not going to be revealed on that strength of pravachan. Na medhaya, by your material intelligence, he is not approachable. Na bahuna srutenava, even you hear the same thing hammered every day, that is also going to fail to get him revealed. Yam evesha vrunute, whomever he wants to reveal himself. Means he is a person. He has his own desire. He is independent. Tena labhyas, only those people will obtain him. Tasyeva atma, soul, virunute tanu swam, will be seen by the sweet will of the Lord himself. Vivrunute means being revealed. That revelation is with ardent desire, but still the devotee should be so much spec pure that the Lord may choose him as medium to appear. This is called Vishuddha Sattva, state of existence, where the Lord resides. Sattva is coming closer. It may give us godly nature, but still it is material. But it is not transcendental. Prabhupada gave the sequence of experiences. Even transcendence is not enough to get him. So, let's read this part. I like it so much. As far as fruity work is concerned, it is limited to enjoyable body. Fruity work is concerned, it is limited to enjoyable body. As far as yoga is concerned, because our enjoyment is frustrated after some time, the body is getting out of tune. Yoga is limited to the acquirement of mystic power. They are also material. More you use, more you become bankrupt. All right? So it is limited. Then, as far as empiric philosophy is concerned, it is limited to attainment of transcendental knowledge. Empiric means generally the knowledge of the self through Sankhya Yoga or analytical study that I am not this body. You spend your whole lifetime neti, 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 go through the pages of Vedas and it is not this, it is not this, because it is giving other direction for some particular mentality of the people. Every different practicable processes shown to just to fulfill their desires. So they are all conceived through the three modes of material nature, because they don't have any sense that they are spiritual yet. So to come from that dead stage of material existence to the transcendental knowledge, empiric philosophy is needed. So one thinks at that time, oh, I am not this body. Fine. But I am not this body is not enough. We do not know the knowledge of the transcendence. So, therefore, knowledge of the transcendence is concerned, it is limited to attainment salvation. Because I am stuck with the body still, and yet my thinking is in transcendence. Now, how to get free? I'm stuck. I'm not free. So, the knowledge of transcendence is limited till the point of salvation. Mukti. Right? Then, as far as transcendental knowledge is concerned, it is limited to attainment of salvation. Even if they are adopted, there is every chance of discrepancies in discharging the particular type of function. We have been told from day one in our Krishna Kasha, Prabhu, you are not this body, you are spirit, soul, part and parcel of the whole. Alright? But have we ever come to that stage of steady realization? Oh no. So, why? Because the discrepancies in discharging the methodology is there. In Kali Yuga, is fault an immense ocean of fault, discrepancies in discharging services. So by adoption of transcendental devotional service to the Lord has no limit, nor is there fear of falling down. So because the devotional service, which is performed beyond the scope of transcendence, actually devotional service starts after coming to the stage of transcendence. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samat sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labate param. Pure devotional service starts after liberation from the bodily conception, which is a transcendental threshold. But it is not enough, right? The process of pure devotional service is without discrepancy because it's enunciated by the Lord Himself. And He gives the reason why only Him and not others. Because He is the origin, sarva karana karanam. So in this way we see that this process automatically reaches to the final stage by the grace of the Lord. Once you are on the threshold of transcendence and engage in spontaneous devotional service, that process itself automatically taking you on back to God, to the Lord Himself. That is the potency. So up till now, we are going on a roller coaster ride. But once you become immersed in the spontaneous devotional service, there is no roller coaster. It's a smooth ride. And as if you are going by the process itself. So, Srila Prabhupada says that in the preliminary stage of devotional service, there is no apparent requisite of knowledge. But in the higher stage, there is no necessity of such knowledge also. Nobody cares knowledge as an important thing. Right? So the best and guaranteed path of progress is therefore engagement in bhakti yoga, the pure devotional service. Pure devotional service. Anya bilashita asanyam jnana karma nana vratam anukulena krishnanushilana bhakti ruttama. So, that is the pure devotional service. And it is the perfect process. It takes us automatically on that level, where there is no need of anything. So, anybody has any question? Yes.
How can one have spontaneous emotional service in a structured setting?
How can
one have spontaneous a structured setting.
How can we...
Protect.
Oh,
there is a system.
Say many activities are
yes. Initially, Vaidhi Bhakti is means stepwise increment that is required, like Vaidhi Bhakti constitute of Adau Shraddha Tato Sadhu Sangha Atha Bhajana Kriya Atha Anartha Nivritti Syat Tato Nishtha and Ruchi. It is a purificatory process. It is helping us to come to an unshakable faith. Otherwise, material nature interferes up to these stages. And even though we are attracted to Krishna, we do not know how refined our attraction is. It may not be speck pure attraction. Our attraction may be conditional. So we have to clear up that. So anartha nivritti is very important to establish our confirmation called nishtha. When we are confirmed, then we will develop the higher taste. Otherwise, up till now, our taste is not pure. We will have some kind of inability or discrepancy. Nonetheless, the thing tastes sweet. I mean, very sweet, but it might have some discrepancy that it's mixed with sand and we can't enjoy really. You know, we need pure taste, not contaminated taste. So when we are confirmed and we do not have any unwanted things in our lives, we are rid of, right? And totally it allows us to devote 100% in Krishna's service for Him only, for the love of the Lord. Then we are on the higher state of tasting that mellow of pure love of the Lord. But again, there are three steps there. Asakti, bhav, and prem. Attachment should be there, because as if we were so much attached in the material world, similarly, we should be attached to Lord Krishna. Right? So attachment has to be developed, that I am attached to Krishna and nobody else, and I have to prove that. Attachment is important. Then Krishna will say, if person is attached, then there are chances that love can develop. So the love is not going to develop unless we start evaluating this attachment. Bhava means price. And how much price can we pay? It's like a price. You want to purchase the diamond. You should be ready to empty out all your pockets. You know? Because it's most precious. This is an example. But Krishna's love is most precious. Can you imagine to attain love of Godhead and that too in Vatsalya Bhav, how many lifetimes Vasudeva and Devaki previously had to go through? And that too, Krishna didn't want to reveal them the childhood pastimes that they were desiring. So they came to the conclusion, my dear Lord, you perform, we are ready to sacrifice every aspect of our desire for your sake. But show to the whole world your childhood pastimes, which are very unparalleled. Now, can a person who wants to exhibit his love for the child will be bereft of that love and just to fulfill Krishna's desire? Krishna says, yes, I'm going to show, but I won't show it to you. That's okay. But you can show to others. total surrender to the desire of the Lord. We have to give up our desire and accept Krishna's desire. So, Krishna appeared. They had the glimpse of his little baby form, and that was their meditation in the jail for how many years more. After killing Kansa, Krishna released them. You know. And they accepted. But still, Devaki, being the mother, she was bereft of that childhood paternal love. Yes.
I got one comment. I want to tell you in a few minutes. I'll tell you a true story. In 1975, I was in Sydney. I happened to hear a lecture from Brahmavani. He was the president of the New Delhi Mission, Ramakrishna Mission.
Chattomat Tattopat. Okay. Well, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavam Mam Prapadyate, but he has a voluntary desire not to choose to surrender to Krishna. That's, yes, Prabhu. Yeah, but you cannot artificially be spontaneous. That's the point. Yes, naturally. The process, it's perfect and we depend upon it. How do we follow with even all discrepancy? But this stage has to be coming through. You cannot artificially eradicate the stages. Yes. No, that's correct. Such desires are seen, but Rupa Goswami doesn't want to make a kind of an artificial jumping over the sequence of the progression. You know, it has to naturally progress, and there is the potency is in the process, not in us. our agreeability to follow in stepwise direction, that is the best and humble approach to it. Even though I'm not Brahman initiate, but I want to go on the altar and decorate nicely because I have desire. No, Prabhu. Let's come to some terms, gradually grow. You will do, but not now. Get through this process. Right? Because we want to make sure up to the point of the most minimum required qualification so he can be promoted. Right? And at every time, the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be accompanying him. The chanting is going to purify such desires. So, suppose if one is not second initiate, right? Means the chanting has not purified him enough? No, he will be qualified by chanting. So, we wait for a certain period. And the chanting is going to continue. So, how is he chanting, whether he's regular or not? So, we give an approximate time release. It's not that, in the temple there are no pujaris, so let's just get few initiated and get going. No, it will be a jumping over. Rather, every temple has the responsibility to teach the candidates, and gradually promote them, this way, that you will get the chance. Requirement will be fulfilled. But at the same time, there's a progression. The progression, we have to notice that progress is done or not. So therefore, the aspirant will be benefited. It's a progressive march. You cannot get a regression like that. It is ever accumulating. Whatever little service is rendered, Krishna will notice. Whether it is spontaneous or not spontaneous. Krishna sees everything because it is devotional service. That is his sustenance of eternity. So he can reciprocate. This question was asked in immaturity. If a devotee dies, what is his? And not remembering Krishna, what is his fate? Prabhupada said, yes, we may forget him at the time of death, but Krishna never forgets us. So on his promise, we have hope to make through. Because he is promising, we can hope to make through. So like that. And these stages are Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi means systematic. There is, in organized, affairs of cosmic manifestation, there is a system. In spiritual manifestation, which is forever, we think there is no organization or system. There is no lack of system. System is everywhere and everywhere. But system can be bypassed. That is our indulgence. So we remain lack of that particular element which will be missing. Therefore, we will have trouble in appreciating at these higher stages. It must be cleared. Satisfactorily, it must be cleared. But power of the holy name will clear it. So rest assured, they will never be discouraged. But follow the system. We can't add to the system, we cannot take out from the system. System is already established. Nobody can create a system. Krishna has created. So this is understood on the spontaneous level, how the things have to be conducted. That is bhajana pranali. That is a deeper and very, very sensitive system. You can't mess around. So, we need to follow the system. System should be advised or given by the predecessor Acharya. If we are not Acharya, we cannot make our system. Better follow. That is easy. Whatever he has gained in devotional service is a permanent asset. So 80% if he has done, then he starts from 81 in the next life. He doesn't have to do all over. But as far as material thing is concerned, whatever he has gained, he has to leave it behind and he has to start all over again. Because material nature cannot accompany him. Three modes of material nature, they will give whatever he desires of his previous nature. You know? So, what dictates our previous nature is our previous karma. The karma is giving that conclusion of what kind of modes we will be carrying at the time of death. So, an appropriate formation of the body to suit that particular desire of material mode we will get into. But if we cultivate transcendental mode, we will stop taking repeated birth and death. And in the transcendental mode, we see ourselves clear and transparent, but with a beautiful form like Lord Krishna. Because if Krishna is a whole and he has beautiful form, his part and parcel is also very beautiful. We may not be standing in threefold bending, but we will be serving very actively in that swarupa, you know. How long can you stand in threefold bending in this body, tell me? Not even 5 minutes. All right, thank you very much. All glasses will Prabhupada.